Well, welcome back. I hope you can stay awake. We've got a really good scripture, if nothing else. So finishing up this series, like Carrie mentioned, called Happy. And you may not have known this before we got into this, but you and God are on the same page about something. You both want you to be happy, right? And this isn't the sugar-filled, instant gratification, self-absorbed kind of happiness that gets marketed and pushed towards us and that we think that we really want. It's something much more profound than that. Plenty of times, the kind of happiness that God wants for us actually runs against the grain of that kind of happiness. The happiness that God wants for us looks more like joy, well-being, a peace that passes all understanding, a sense of goodness and hope that isn't coming from the world into us, but is coming from God through us, filling us up and flowing out into the world. It's a different kind of happiness. And so that's the kind of happiness that God wants for us. And Scripture is actually filled with that. You may not have grown up or thought much about the Bible being about God declaring God's desire for you to be happy, but it is. It's just full of that, for you to have peace that passes all understanding, surpasses all understanding. Those sorts of things. God is constantly holding out to us things and saying, hey, here's life and death. Now, please, please choose life. Choose life so that it can go well for you, you know? Scripture is full of that. And you that might not have lined up with your ideas about God and Scripture, but it is in there, and that is how it is. And so you and God are really on the same page about something really significant because you want you to be happy. You like you, right? Most days, hopefully. And God really loves you and wants you to be happy. Done a lot of great stuff over the last 3 weeks. I only did one of it, so it's not like self-back patting to say that, but like Marquette and Carrie and stuff just did phenomenal, wonderful. Go back and listen to that stuff. It's one of the ways that you can cultivate good things in your life. If I'm feeling too like manic, I'll go and listen to one of my old sermons. But like I like listening to other people's that preach here, or else they wouldn't be preaching here, right? But this week we're talking about guarding happiness. And maybe a better word for that would be tending happiness, because it's not guarding happiness like a soldier guarding, but guarding happiness like a gardener guards their garden. There's a lady that I used to know that she's an incredible green thumb, and I was commenting on her garden one time and asking, like, how did you do this? Because everything is flowering, and it's in bloom, and it's fruiting, and it's just amazing, and other people kind of struggle along, but whatever she does, it just turns into amazingness. And she's like, well, the plants really do it themselves, you know, like, you don't have to worry. Like, as long as you take care of the bugs and the weeds and the diseases, then and let the plants do their own thing, the plants will grow, and they will produce, and they'll flower, and they'll fruit. That's what they want to do. It's what they're made to do. And what Jesus is telling us today in this text is a lot like what that lady was saying about gardening, that if we stay connected with God, that we will bear fruit, that the life of God will flow in us and through us, and that good things will come out of that and happen in that, and we don't have to do anything. But we need to tend the garden. We need to tend the garden of our lives. There, we need to guard against the bugs and the diseases and the weeds that want to grow up in our life. And it's a regular thing of tending the garden and guarding our life and guarding our happiness. But like if we take care of those things and we stay connected with God, that is the natural the natural outcome of that is flourishing, is fruit, is flowers, is good things. And it's a way of living that we were meant to have. The way we were meant to live is this life that is deeply connected with God. And apart from God, we begin to wither and we begin to die. So We're going to just go verse by verse through this thing, if I can find my scripture here. Tori, will you back us up, man? We're just going to talk about this. This is one of my just absolute favorite images in Scripture that God gives us about what life is to be like with us and with God. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking, saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So the worldview that Jesus is giving us is of a vineyard. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. We are the branch that comes out of the vine and grows grapes, right? That's what happens in a vineyard. And I'm using the idea of a gardener here, but God is the gardener in the garden. But we also need to imitate the good gardener of the vineyard, and also need to garden our own lives. And we'll get more into that in just a bit. But the idea is that the branch, us, we stay connected to the vine, and the natural outcome of that is that the life-giving sap, this is how plants work, collects the minerals and the nutrients and the energy from the leaves and brings all of that life and that goodness to the branch, to the fruit, flowers and then fruit are produced. And as long as the branch stays connected to the vine everything stays healthy, then that's the natural outcome. And so all that the branch needs to do to bear fruit is what? Is stay connected. And that's just going to happen. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And that deserves a whole sermon all to itself, because you are clean because of the word, the logos, the word that that spoke all things into existence, that spoke all things, that created all things. You are clean because of the creating power that I have spoken into you. You are clean because of the new life power that I have spoken into you. So remain in me as I also remain in you. Stay connected with me. Here's the deal. Just stay connected. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now that might be news for some folks, because some of us somehow have come up with this idea that we think that we become a Christian, and so then the idea is that God did something good for us, but now we've got to go and kind of like gut it out on our own and produce fruit on our own. And we're just a branch. And what is a branch without sap flowing with it that's disconnected from a tree? It's dead. It's a stick, right? It's a stick. So we think that like this, that what the vineyard keeper, the gardener wants is expects us just to be a stick that somehow produces fruit. We have a gardener that is much smarter than that, knows how the vineyard thing works, that branches produce fruit. Branches connected to the good vine produce fruit. You can't produce fruit of your own. Like it is, if you are going to be connected with God, if you are going to be connected to this branch, you are going to produce fruit. That's just going to happen. And so the gardener delights in that and wants that from you, to produce fruit, for sure. But not as a stick, as a branch. God doesn't expect you to do that on your own, to somehow like gut up good fruit out of your life. Now, what is this fruit that we're talking about? Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, which comes a little bit after this in the Bible, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So God doesn't expect these things to flow out of you just as a branch. That's not, or as a stick. That's not God's plan for your life. God has always wanted to invite all of us into this life-giving relationship that God has, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and just be involved and connected into that, so that we are in this constantly life-giving relationship where God loves us and we love God, and God loves us and we love God. And that's the relationship that we live in. And out of that flows love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. God doesn't expect a stick to do that. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is repeating him, using really good imagery, but repeating himself over and over again in here, and I think it's on purpose. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. You become a stick. Such branches, sticks, are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, when you hear that, if you have images of fiery demons with pitchforks poking people into big burning cauldrons, then that image came from somewhere else that's not the Bible. And if you want to learn more about what that the biblical image of that stuff is and what Jesus is talking about there, you can go back a few weeks and listen to when I talked about the sheep and the goats. But you guys are all really smart here. So you know what happens when you burn a stick in the fire. What happens with it? It goes away. That's right. It goes away. It turns into ashes. It is no more, right? So when you're cleaning up your vineyard and you're collecting sticks and you throw them into the fire, you're getting rid of them. They go away. You become a nothing. Jesus is saying, don't become a nothing. Don't become an outcast. Don't become disconnected from me where there is no life outside of me. Or you become useless and a nothing, just thrown out into the burn pile of the garden. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's a big, big statement Jesus is making. But what he's saying is that if you begin to love what God loves and grieve what God grieves and dream what God dreams, and you live into that, this life of connection with God, loving what God loves and dreaming what God dreams and grieving what God grieves, that the desire of your heart will reflect the desire of God's heart. And when you ask anything of God, God will say, yes, yes, that's what I want too. Let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. I want that too. And whatever you ask will be done for you. It's a big claim. Try God out on that. That if you ask persistently for something that God loves and God wants also, what's going to happen? This is my Father's glory, my Father's delight, my Father's pride and joy, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It is to the Father's delight that you are a branch connected to the vine, and that the life of God flows in and through you and produces love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. Forgot one, I think. But produces the fruit of the Spirit, and God delights in that. The life of God flowing through you and producing fruit in the world. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. God loves you. God loves you. Now remain in my love. Stay connected with me. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, now we're getting into how to remain in my love. If you keep my commands, do what God says, when you understand and when you don't understand, when it makes sense and when it doesn't make sense, when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good, when it seems popular and cool and when it doesn't seem popular and cool, do what God says, the one that made you and that loves you. Do what I say and you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. God isn't out to get you with these commands. God wants you to be happy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, right? Do what I say. I'm not out to get you. My goal, my aim here is that my joy will be in you. The joy, the delight, the love of God, the well-being of God will flow into you. That is what God's after. and that will flow through you, produce flowers and fruit for all the world to see. Greater, my command is this, love each other. Got two things to do now. Love each other and do what God says. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friend. You are my friends. Jesus says, you are my friends. You are my friend. The one who taught the stars to shine says, you are my friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you, so that you may be full of joy. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, won't melt like sugar in your mouth, won't fade into regret, but something that will really last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Just stay connected. Just stay connected. What beautiful imagery that God is giving us. All you have to do is just stay connected with God. And you do that by loving God, loving other people, and doing what God says. How do you know what God says? Well, you probably be good to go to church, to read your Bible, to pray, to do the things that you already know to do, right? Those things not only will teach you what God commands, staying in relationship with other Christians that are also trying to figure that out, but also those are great ways to stay connected with God. And how do you love other people if you're not around other people? And how do you love other people if you're not around other people that are trying to love other people? And how do you learn to love other people if you're not around other people that are trying to learn to love you? Just stay connected. But like the good gardener, we need to guard our garden. We need to tend our garden. There's weeds, and there's bugs, and there's funguses, and all sorts of things that are going to come into the garden of our life, the garden of our soul, and try to disconnect us from God. Things that will distract us, things that will steal our joy, things that will say, hey, I can't do this right now. The things that are happening on my screen are more important. The things that are happening over here are more important. I like being over entertained. That seems better. I'm just going to numb it. I'm not going to turn this to God. I'm going to numb it with this, or numb it with this, or numb it with this. Talked about a few weeks ago that idolatry. One of the things that St. Augustine said about idolatry is that it creates a disordered love. There's always things that are trying to get in the one spot that are really a 2 or a 3 or a 77. You know? And that putting God first creates a ordered love in our life. There's always things trying to jump their spot there. And as gardeners, as people who are guarding our happiness and guarding our hearts and guarding our connection with God, we need to make sure that we put the first thing. And it's going to fall out of place sometimes. Then we need to put it back. There's going to be weeds that come up and we need to pull them out. Things are going to fall out of place and we put it back. We put it back. We see bugs creeping in our lives and we pluck them out and we throw them somewhere else. Maybe stomp them, I don't know. Give them to Levi or Erica to experiment on. But we stay connected. It's not striving from that point on. We're just letting the life of God, the goodness of God, the well-being of God do its work in us. I got to witness this in a friend of mine's life. It was really getting to watch one of my heroes die. And I learned so much from it. Long ago, his name used to be Tim. And Tim was, he was a king of the world. He was just crushing it in business. People respected him. They feared him. He flew all over the world. He made deals happen. He did stuff. He had a great wife and daughter here in Atlanta. He had a super hot girlfriend in Europe. He had another super hot girlfriend in China. He had everything that he wanted. He didn't care about anything else. He took what he made stuff happen. Tim loved him, and he thought he was living the life. People did what he said, or there were consequences. And one day he got diagnosed with a rapidly growing cancer. It just began eating away at his body. He pretty quickly went from hospital to hospice, and he lost weight just rapidly. His body was deteriorating. During that time, his wife found out the things that he didn't bother to tell her, not because he was afraid she would find out, because he just didn't care whether she knew or not. Just didn't care to tell her. So she left him. And in hospice is the place that you go when they think there's nothing else to do for you. They're just going to kind of keep you somewhat comfortable, and then you die. So he's literally on death's bed. Cancer's eating away at him. They're giving him medication, but he's in terrible shape, suffering. And somewhere in there, he hears the still, small voice of God, and it breaks him. And he cries what little bit of tears that his body can shed. And he says, God, I am so sorry for what I've done with my life. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Whatever is left of me is yours. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Whatever is left of me is yours. And he just kept praying that minute after minute, day after day, waiting to die. And people died to his left, and people died to his right, and new people came, and they died, and they died, and he just didn't die. This once 170-pound man was 90 pounds, and then 85 pounds, but he was just, he plateaued somewhere in there, and he just held out. Eventually, the hospice director called the hospital and said, you sent this man to me to die, and he's not dying. I think you need to take him back. So they took him back to the hospital, and they got him where he could eat again. They did scans of his body. All the cancer was completely gone. Eventually got him where he could go home. Home now wasn't with his wife and his daughter. It was in this tiny little apartment. And in that apartment, he kept praying the same prayer, and he just began praying all the time, whatever I have left of my life is yours. I'm yours. I am yours. He began reading the Bible. Whenever he was strong enough to walk, he began walking in the mornings down to this little chapel that a church had. It was just a little prayer chapel. And from the moment that it was open to the moment that it closed, every day he was in there on his knees praying to God, reading his Bible and praying. And it was in that little chapel that he learned that he was a friend of God. And he became a friend of God. And he spent the rest of his life in deep connection with God, doing whatever God told him to do, go wherever God told him to go. People marveled that he was still alive, how different he was. They would say, hey, Tim. He said, I'm not Tim anymore. That was the old man. I'm Timothy now. God changed him. Didn't just save his life, but God changed him until he loved what God loved, and he dreamed what God dreamed, and he grieved what God grieved. Who he was different. And for some reason, he kept showing up at the church here. He lived in Midtown Buckhead at the time, but he kept showing up here at the church randomly to come help me with things when I needed him to. And he was so connected with God that he said that he would deliver mail for God. That God would tell him something to say to somebody, and he would just tell him and be like, oh my gosh, well, thank you, Timothy. He's like, I'm just delivering God's mail. One day we were hanging ceiling tiles, and I was really worried about the church and finances and things. For a lot of years, it was like, are we going to hang on? Or what am I going to tell people if we have to close down? Is this going to work? Is this going to work? I don't know. So-and-so is in really bad shape. We're not doing so great. You know, do we have, it's worried about money, you know? And Timothy, while we were hanging ceiling tiles, just says, hey, Nathan, I didn't say anything about this to him. Nothing, you know? Because who is this guy anyway? Like, he's just a guy that shows up and speaks for God sometimes and is just, but I'm not going to, I mean, he knows too much anyway. He can see inside somehow. But he said, hey, Nathan, God wanted me to tell you to, you don't need to worry about money. So just stop worrying about money. You'll have whatever you need. So just from here on out, just stop. Okay. And I think about that probably every week. That like it was just crushing because that's exactly what I needed to hear at the time. And the dreams that we have for God, the things that are like things cost money, you know. I just remember what Timothy said of like, hey, you'll have what you need. Don't worry, you know. So just stop worrying about that. Later on, he moved up to this little community in the mountains, and he kind of became their unofficial chaplain. So he spent his time loving and caring about people and praying to God. He spent so much time praying and reading the Bible and loved God. Timothy was God's friend. And God was Timothy's friend. And the cancer came back. And this time it wasn't going to go away. And I'd go and visit him. And, you know, you wonder about people when they're like Timothy. If you ever get to meet there's not very many people like him. But if you ever get to meet somebody like him, you wonder about him like when things are okay a bit. But like when you watch somebody who is literally in the valley of the shadow of death, man, I was paying attention. He was content. He was full of well-being. He trusted God. And it wasn't in some, I'm putting on a face for anybody sort of thing. He was also scared. He was also felt very alone. He was in pain. So when he's throwing up in pain in the middle of the night, all alone, there's real human things going on there. When he's about to take that last step into the unknown, there's real human things going on there. But that's not all that there is. Timothy knows that he is God's friend. And he's lived the best half of his life as Timothy. That the God that has loved him and carried him through all of that and that saved his soul will be with him through it all. That's the kind of connection that God wants us to have. And it takes tending. It takes tending. There are things that came up in Timothy's life and things that will come up in your life that just need to be plucked out and pushed away so that we can keep the main thing the main thing. Guard your happiness. Guard your life with God and let the life of God, the joy of God, the well-being of God flow through you so that as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which you very well, you will one day. Maybe you already have, but you will again. You'll do it with hope and with the life of God inside of you, and you will bear fruit in that moment as a branch and not a stick. Let's pray.